Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us on the show right now is Senator John Kennedy. Senator, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Scoot.
All right, Senator, I love talking to you because, you know, I love your down-home way of putting things. And sometimes, you know, it can be a really tough question, and you've just got this really nice way of putting it. Could America be any more hateful than it is right now?
We need to dial it down a notch, but it's difficult, Scoot, because you're torn between ignoring outrageous accusations or responding to them and saying, no, that's not correct. I mean, at some point, patience ceases to be a virtue. And I think that's what our four congresswomen in the House of Representatives have sort of provoked.
I had a caller early in the show last hour, and he said you were a member of the Tea Party. I challenged him on that, and it really came down to he believes that your policies and your philosophy is in line with the Tea Party, therefore he thinks you're a member of the Tea Party. Did you want to clear that up?
I'm not a member of the Tea Party. I'm not sure there is an organized Tea Party. You know, your caller or observer certainly has the right to his opinion. I mean, This is America.
But see, that's part of the hate that that we deal with, Senator Kennedy, is that, you know, this guy, I mean, there are people who hate you. Look, I get it because there are people who hate me. And it's not just disagreeing with opinions. It's hate. And, you know, let me get you to comment on this Gretna police officer saying that that Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez needs to be shot because of her opinions. You don't agree with that, do you?
No, it's horrible. At a minimum, he ought to be fired. But it is getting worse. I mean, I have a sheriff's car in front of my home right now. I got a call the other night from our Capitol Police. I was in D.C., and they said, you can't leave your apartment unless we accompany you, and we're sending a car to your house in Madisonville. I mean, I just think that's preposterous, but that's the world we live in.
It is. And Senator, there would be a time not long ago when a senator in your position, a relatively new senator, would not garner a death threat.
And it happens all the time right now. And look, I don't hate anybody. I tell my colleagues all the time. I know all 100 senators. I'm the 100th. I guess all my 99 other senators. I like them all. I get along with all of them. There are a couple that are jerks, but they're endearing jerks, if you will. And there are some big egos. You know, there's some who think they're one of the founding fathers, but I think everybody's well-intentioned. I don't hate anybody. Now, I disagree with folks sometimes, but when I disagree, for example, with the congresswomen that we've been talking about, I'm disagreeing with their ideas. I'm not disagreeing with their color or their ethnicity.
So how do we dial it back, as you say? How do we dial back the vicious hate? I mean, I don't know that we can, Senator. I don't see any.
Well,
I don't see signs on the horizon.
It's clearly gotten worse. I've suggested to the president that you know that thing in our head, Scoot, that keeps us from saying things we shouldn't say. Well, the president doesn't have one, and he has no filter. And I've suggested to him before. I said, you know, Mr. President, you know, I know you grow anxious when you have an unexpressed thought, but you don't have to comment on everything. But that's his style. It's not going to change.
Well, but
he gets blamed for a lot of this, but much of the time he is simply responding to things that are said about him, things that I might ignore and that you might ignore. But the president is not the turn the other cheek kind of guy. He thinks if you turn the other cheek, you just get it in the neck.
And this is one of the things that has secured his success and his popularity with his base. They want him to be this way. And so
he was sent to Washington to disrupt things. I mean, the American people are very smart. They knew all about President Trump when they elected him. They sent him up there not to guard the pot, but to stir it. And that's what he has done.
So when you
and I think quite successfully, in my judgment. Yeah.
When you talk to President Trump and you say, you know, Mr. President, you know, you don't need to react to everything. What is the president's response to you?
He believes that the best defense is a good offense. Mm-hmm. And he's just not made. He's a disruptor. He's going to respond. Now, I may not agree with that style, and you may not, but I'm not the president of the United States. He is. And every president that I've ever observed in my lifetime has his own governing style. Some people like it. Some people don't. If you don't like it, you'll have a chance here in a year and a half or 2 years to vote him out or to keep him. When I look at the results for the last 2 years, strongest economy since, I don't know, the 60s, we've increased wages, we've helped the private sector create jobs, we've deregulated the economy, we've beaten back ISIS, we've strengthened the military, we've approved some great judges. Our enemies don't love us anymore, but our enemies across the world now, I think they respect us. We've got 3.5% GDP growth. I think he's done a lot to improve the quality of life for most Americans.
Well, there's no
lowest unemployment rate in the country's history for African Americans.
Although I don't tend to give presidents the credit or the blame totally for the economy, because I think there are factors other than that. It is true it is true, though, that a president does set a tone for something like consumer confidence, which does fuel the economy. So I agree to some degree. I mean, for those who blame a president for a bad economy, this president, you'd have to give him credit for a booming economy. Let's hope it continues to last. The thing that bothers me most is that all those who support the president, if, you know, God forbid, the economy takes a downturn, and since economies are cyclical, if that happens, well, you're not going to blame the president. So, you know, there's the hypocrisy, Senator Kennedy, that I have a tough time dealing with every day of my life.
Well, and you make a valid point. Let me tell you what I think part of the problem is, and this is a Washington problem. I don't see it as much in the rest of the country. But in Washington, it has become in vogue to defend your arguments by calling your opponent a racist. Mm-hmm. For example, if you're against school busing, you're a racist. If you believe that America's immigration laws should be enforced, you're called a racist. If you think reparations are immoral or impractical, you're a racist. If you think America should stand up for itself in the world, you're called a racist. Now, most Americans that I know, the vast majority, are not racist, they're not misogynistic, and they're not ignorant. And there, but yet you have so many people in Washington, D.C., on both sides of the aisle, Scoot, who think they look down on the American people. They think they're smarter and more virtuous than ordinary Americans like you and me. And I think that's part of the problem in Washington on both sides of the aisle.
I totally agree with you that the term racist is too loosely used. And it's almost a default word to use to describe somebody you don't like. And I do not allow people to get away with that on this show. But it's a difficult battle. I've had people tell me, Senator, that I don't ask you hardball questions. So I want to ask you a hardball question.
Okay.
Okay. When it comes to politics, what is it that you really enjoy playing hardball with?
Things that I firmly believe. I do politics because I like it. I mean, I'm not one, I've never been a politician that said, oh, it's such a sacrifice. I enjoy it or I wouldn't do it. What I like best about it is that if I want to go to the office tomorrow morning and learn about the chronic disease management program in Medicaid in Florida, I can do that. I enjoy policy. That I understand that may make me weird and I need to get a life, but I enjoy it. And if you enjoy policy, there's no better place in the U.S. Senate. Now, I have firmly held beliefs that I am prepared to defend. Having said that, I've always believed that someone should be willing to test his beliefs and his assumptions against the arguments of his critics. And I do that. Every day I try to get better at listening. And I have changed my vote on occasion in committee and on the floor of the Senate by listening to the arguments of my opponents.
But see, at least I asked you a hardball question, right? What do you do when you play hardball? I mean,
yeah, well, you can ask me anything you want. Hey. I'll take callers.
Senator, CNN loves you. I mean, there's something about you. There's a country charisma about you that is very appealing. And CNN, you spend a lot of time on CNN, and I think you give good balance to them. Do people criticize you for spending so much time on CNN?
Some of my colleagues on the Republican side say I'm wasting my time, but I don't think so. I try to do two things. First, I try to answer the question. And really answer it. I'm sure I've dodged a question on occasion, but it's not often. And number two, my staff has standing orders that if I start to talk like a senator, they're to shoot me. I try to talk. The American people are busy. The people of Louisiana are busy. Most of them are earning a living. They don't need someone to try to make it complicated. They need to just give him the bottom line and tell him what he thinks and why he thinks that, or she. And that's what I try to do.
Senator, I always enjoy our conversations. What is it about the Democrats now, among all of those people running, which one bothers you the most in terms of a challenge to President Trump at this point?
You know, I know all of them, almost all of them. I know Cory well. I know Elizabeth Warren well. I know Kamala Harris well. I know Bernie pretty well. I don't know President Biden. I just think it's too early to tell. What the president has to run on very forcefully are his results. I think what sometimes hurts the president, and I've told him this, is that, you know, you get tired of having a crisis every other Thursday and sometimes more frequent. Because the president believes strongly in what he believes and because he is aggressive, sometimes it gets exhausting. And I think that has hurt him some. But he's the president. I'm not. And I've been around him enough to know that what you see is what you get. He is the same way in private as he is in public. And he believes that is why he was sent to Washington, D.C., to stir the pot, not to guard it.
Senator John Kennedy, thank you for your time. And look, when you have time, why don't you come sit in the studio with me for an hour?
I would like to. We'll take all comers. Okay. Anybody can call in. They can say nice things about me, or they can call me an ignorant slut. That's their right.
Well, I got to tell you, if on this show, that's the treatment that I get, so I don't understand why you would get any better treatment than me.
I know. I listen to you all the time, man. But this is America. It's great. You can say what you believe.
All right, Senator Kennedy, thank you for your time, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, man.
If you've got a comment, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. I'm Scoot. We're coming right back on WWL. Yeah, we have great freedom in America, but we're judged by the freedom that we express. We're going to work diligently to get Senator John Kennedy in the studio here and give you a chance to talk to him. We'll get him in here for an hour. And I love the fact that he quoted Dan Aykroyd from Saturday Night Live when he talked about how people could even say he's an ignorant slut. And he listens to the show, so he knows that that kind of stuff happens on this show from 1 to 4 in the afternoon here on WWL. So, look, you know what? I don't agree with everything Senator Kennedy says. I don't agree with all of his policies. But there's something country charismatic about him. I mean, there's something likable about the guy. And he does spend a lot of time on CNN. So CNN really does like his kind of down-home way of putting things. I want to remind you, we've got a flash flood warning in effect for St. Charles Parish. And boy, what rain, what lightning and thunder over the weekend. Saturday, again, there were some areas in the CBD that flooded. And we've even got a better chance of rain tomorrow. But then Wednesday and Thursday, things are going to get a little better. We've been talking about you could comment on anything Senator Kennedy said. And we've also been talking about what should happen to the Gretna police officer who posted on Facebook that Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez, a member of the squad, is a vile idiot that needs a round. And he said, and I don't mean the kind she used to serve. Apparently, she used to be a bartender. So is it appropriate for a police officer to say on social media that a congresswoman he disagrees with should be shot? That's our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo poll. 76% say no, police officers should not express those personal and political views. And 24% say yes, they should. Give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com. And I think the key way to think about that is if you're a racist or if you express hate for somebody, would you help that person as a police officer as much as you would help somebody else? And if you're a police officer, it's not your option to determine who you help. It's not your option to determine who you help more than others. You have to do your job. And so when police officers express that kind of hate, I'm not so sure they're able to do their job. All right, if you're on hold, hang on. I'm Scoot. We're coming right back on WWL. That is one of the things that I respect about Senator Kennedy. I don't agree with everything that he says, but I do like his honesty. And we would really have a good time if we get him in the studio for an hour or so. We've been talking about politics. We've been talking about the federal police officer who thinks that Congresswoman AOC should be shot because he disagrees with her opinions. And look, I understand how some of you interpret what they say as being anti-American. But the flag represents the freedom to say something un-American. And I can't help but go back and think about all the people that thought that President Obama was un-American, was not following the Constitution. He had a right to do everything he did, everything he said. Now, if you incite or if you talk like you're planning specific violence, that's different. And then I got a text earlier from somebody that said, what about Maxine Waters? Because Maxine Waters basically said that the public should go out of its way to berate members of the Trump administration in public. Well, she has the freedom to say that, but I don't know of anybody who supported it. I'm sure there were a few people who did, but it seems as if it just seems as if things just get so easily out of control. And Maxine Waters is not the standard bearer for the Democratic Party. I mean, she's got seniority. She's been there a long time. A lot of people like her. A lot of people look up to her. But the fact that she wants people berated, that doesn't make her right. And the fact that she said that doesn't make all Democrats, all liberals, all non-Republicans the same. And so this is the tribal politics that we're involved in now that we need to try to get away from. You know, it's either your side or my side. And there's no common sense that's being used anymore. And that's sad to me. If you want to join us, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Also, Miss Michigan, the woman who is Miss Michigan, she had her title stripped because of comments that were labeled offensive on social media. She is a conservative supporter of President Trump. And Kathy Zhu says it's not fair to be prejudiced because of someone's conservative political views. So it happens on both sides. And what I love to do every afternoon here is focus on the blatant hypocrisy, shine a light on the hypocrisy that is just part of America's DNA right now. Her social media comments were about a Muslim student association on a college campus that was asking women to try on a hijab, just to try it on. And she didn't think it was right for them to ask people to try it on. And she made some comment about how she thought that this was their way of asking, do you think women want to feel what it feels like to be oppressed or to be, you know, a second class citizen because of some of the traditions concerning men and women and gender in the Islamic community. Now every Muslim is not the same in the same way that every American is not the same. But I will defend this beauty contest right to say what she wants to say. I'll defend her right to say that. And I don't know, but should she be stripped of her title? If your role as, say, a beauty contestant is to, as representing Michigan, as Miss Michigan, if your role is to not be political, then okay, she gets stripped of her title. In the same way that Vanessa Williams was stripped of her title of Miss America after it came out that she was in Penthouse posed with another woman. And by the way, that was the best thing that ever happened to Vanessa Williams' career, because she would not nearly have, she's beautiful, she's got a great voice, she would not nearly have been as a compelling commodity if that had not happened to her. And it's interesting to go back and actually think about the people whose careers were enhanced because they posed in Playboy or Penthouse or something like that. I can't think of anybody whose career was ruined because they did that. And Vanessa Williams really did reap the benefits of that. All right, if you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, our number is 260-1870. Area code 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. This is one of the cheesiest hits from a baby boomer artist. This is Bobby Sherman. He's 76 years old today. This came out in 1970. And man, we had some, I mean, you think some music today is cheesy? We had some really cheesy music back then. Now, he went on he did a couple of acting roles. He was a cute guy, had dimples and everything. And this was one of his hits, 76 years old today. So for the baby boomers who are so quick to criticize music today, sometimes I think we need to remember some of the cheesy stuff that we supported. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. And we'll dedicate this song to the people who are in the streets of Puerto Rico right now. Big, big protest in Puerto Rico. They're not happy. And apparently the governor has been saying some really stupid things, and the people of Puerto Rico are reacting. Here is, we've got a new WWL The Runner poll coming up here in just a moment. So what about this? Do we do what we needed to do? Okay. We did. Okay. There was something about some kind of an emergency test that we were having. I hate when they do these pop tests on the air. But anyway, so we're okay. I mean, because that's part of our responsibility with the FCC. Oh, by the way, speaking of the FCC, the Cumulus Broadcast Group, the company, decided to ban an interview that one of its hosts did with Mayor Peter Buttigieg. And the excuse is FCC regulations. You know, at this point in the campaign, it really would be okay to do an interview with Mayor Pete. And as long as you offer the opportunity to every other candidate, then you wouldn't have to go out of your way to give equal time to every other candidate at this point. I mean, that's my understanding. You know, I could be wrong, but I've been in this business a long time. And at this point in the campaign, you could have a conversation with Mayor Pete. Now, I guess the reason they didn't want to do it is because this was a country station, and this was a country music host, and people, I guess the company figured people would be upset, so that's why they wanted to ban that interview. And also next hour, we're going to add to the conversation a country music artist, Brandi Carlile. She says the NRA can kiss her blank. And she brings attention to sexism in country music, something you wouldn't expect from a country performer. But I think this, once again, breaks the stereotype. And I love to break stereotypes, that there are a lot of country music artists who are not right-wing conservatives. From Picayune, Alan, you're on WWL.
Good, my brother. What's up?
How you doing, Alan?
All right. How'd you like the Blue Blake concert? Remember I waved at you?
That's right. You know, I talked about it last week. I loved it. I love his personality. His music is great. I mean, I'm more of a rock alternative guy, but you know, I really appreciated what he did, and it was a lot of fun.
He was very, very good with the fans. I mean, he was very, very laid back, you know, and he wanted the fans to join in, as you know, you could see and stuff like that. It was very good.
That's right. I thought it was
a very good production.
I thought so too. The spherical circular video screen over the stage was really unique. I had not seen that before, and I thought that was outstanding.
Right. I mean, the only thing that I didn't like about it was about the last song, where he ended "Can't Help Falling in Love." I mean, that was kind of.
I thought the last song was what was it? Was it a Willie Nelson song, right? You were always on my mind.
Right, right.
Well, I think, Alan, I'm going to have to move on. I think that was Michael Bublé's way of saying to the audience and to his fans, you'll always be on my mind. Here is a text that says, this cop in Gretna is out of bounds and is entrusted with a weapon, as a cop can't make a statement like that. I agree. Now, the text says, Gretna cop's social post voted no on our website. The GOP... representing Louisiana in D.C. needs to stop following or endorsing Trump lies. Kennedy, Cassidy, and Scalise need to grow a spine and stop being afraid of POTUS and speak the real truth that they know about Trump, non-presidential behavior, not to mention impeachable behavior known by all of those in Washington, D.C. From Gulfport, Greg, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot, my buddy was saying you might need a breath mint. You were kissing Kennedy's butt so much.
You think so?
Yeah. What? You didn't even bring up the Gretna thing.
Yes, I did. So what show are you listening to? I mean, that's not fair. Greg, it's not fair for you to call the show and say that when I brought it up. I mean, that's like stupid. Why would you do that?
Because you just want to
bash me? Well, come on, find something else, because that wasn't true. I mentioned it. I talked to him about it.
Kennedy didn't even talk about the things that he said about her. He said that she was the devil.
Well, Kennedy's not going to say he's not going to say everything that he's ever said in an interview, but you are absolutely wrong to call this show and tell me I didn't ask him about it when I did. You know, once again, some of our listeners need hearing aids. Yeah, we should really do a trade out with a company. Offer hearing aids to people who can't hear the show. But see, this is the confirmation bias we deal with. And these are the people who are deciphering who to vote for. But they're not deciphering the truth. They're deciphering their own bias based on what they want to believe. Thinking that I didn't ask him about that. So to call up and bash me about that. I mean, it's insane. Hey, over the weekend, I had a great Saturday night in Chalmette at the Frederick Segure Civic Center in Chalmette with the Rat Pack is back. And I tell you, the guy who was Dean Martin, who we talked to on the show Friday, was phenomenal. The guys Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr., they were good too. And the guy who imitated Robin Williams as the opening act, he was amazing. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. All right, it's a Monday, July 22nd. On our pop culture calendar, we wish happy birthday today to game show host Alex Trebek. Alex Trebek is 79 years old today, and I hope he's doing well with his battle against cancer. Man, he had just the best attitude about beating it. And I can only imagine what it's like to get that news. But I know so many people who have just beaten it. I mean, I've talked to many of you who have told me about your story about just beating cancer, and it's gone. And one of the things that helps you beat it is a positive attitude. So you know, if you're ever in that position of having to put up that fight, man, put up a good fight and have a very positive attitude. Let me go back to Saturday night in Chalmette. You know, I realized that that was, now where I went, the Frederick Segur Theater, that used to be the St. Bernard Civic Auditorium, correct? Because somebody was telling me backstage that Queen performed there. And that jogged my memory. I saw The Who. I guess it was 1968. I saw The Who at that very arena. So Saturday night was the Rat Pack is back. And it was really pretty cool. And the guy who opened up the show was a Robin Williams impersonator. So, I'm taken backstage, so I'm going to go meet the guy before I introduce him. And so I'm taken to his dressing room, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, a Robin Williams impersonator. Okay, fine. So, you know, the guy's going to talk like Robin Williams, and he's going to tell Robin Williams jokes. When I opened the door to his dressing room, I thought I walked through the gates of heaven and was standing right next to Robin Williams. I posted a brief conversation that I had with him backstage on my Facebook page, SOTA, Scoot on the Air. You could check that out. But the guy looked like Robin Williams. He sounded like Robin Williams. He had the body language. And I remember meeting Robin Williams in the late 80s. And again, I thought I was standing next to Robin Williams. But I want to thank AJ, all the Shriners in St. Bernard Parish. It was a fun event. I spent a little time with St. Bernard Parish President Guy McGinnis, told him that I hope he gets the funding that he needs to help everybody because of the opening of the spillway. And by the way, they're starting to close the spillway, which is good news for many of you. And I want to thank all of you for just being so nice to me in St. Bernard Parish. It was a great Saturday night. I'm Scoot. Hang on. We'll be right back on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.